right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are taking your phone calls, but only for a short time. We're only with you until 6:30 tonight, so we got a lot to cover in a short amount of time as the NCAA tournament started last night, and we will kick it back over tonight at 6:30 to the first four, and tonight a couple more games as Texas Southern and Mike Davis are playing in the first game tonight. Arizona and Syracuse are in the second game. Last night you heard Radford advance. You also heard St. Bonaventure beat Steve Alford and UCLA. But Mike Davis, the other connection here to IU in the first four, we'll have that starting here at 6:30. We'll also have all your NCAA tournament action all through the next couple weeks. So Thursday starting about noon, you can turn in here to WGCL and hear all the games, all the broadcasts, anything and everything. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We'll look at the brackets here for the next half hour as the two first four games now filled in, two more to go. But as we know, those folks don't generally stick around. VCU did stick around, made a Final Four run out of the first four once upon a time, but that's going to be quite unusual over time.
I would suggest that's the exception,
yeah,
perhaps not the rule.
Exactly.
In any of that. But the point is, you can play yourself as you need to go.
Now, there is news for one of the major contenders, number one seed overall, Virginia, has now lost one of their best players. The sixth man of the year in the ACC is going to be out for the entire tournament. You know, I don't know how often you watch Virginia. I can't say I saw more than a couple of their games and out of the corner of my eye, but it's never good when you're losing a key cog like this.
Well, it is and it isn't. He's a freshman, and we all love freshmen just like everybody else does, but I have a feeling that Tony Bennett's system is built on something more sturdier than making sure the sixth man of the year is there to play. Now, would you love to have your full complement of players?
Doesn't help.
It doesn't help anything. No, of course it doesn't, but I would think that they have some players in their system that probably can step in and help to some degree. Mm-hmm. And as we always talk about, when somebody gets hurt, it might not be one guy that replaces them. It could be pieces of two or three guys that can come in. If you get somebody that can defend, great. If you got somebody knocked down a shot, great. If you got somebody who can rebound, great. Usually really quality teams don't go 5.5 or six deep. They do have some they do have some issues. What that does is will scare everybody that doesn't know anything about basketball probably running for the exits on Virginia, because if you think I'm going to try to win my bracket or try to get after this, I want to do it with a team that has everybody there. But then you have the same people who say, well, I think Missouri's a great pick because Michael Porter's back and he's played one game.
And
so
they don't have any idea what that team looks like.
But it's fun!
The bigger issue for Virginia is getting out of their half of the bracket, because again, if upsets do not happen, you're looking at a possibility of Kentucky or Arizona the first day there, the Sweet 16, assuming that you get that far too. So they've got an early major test right off the way. And I know when you get to the NCAA tournament, you're always going to have tests. You aren't going to have a lot of easy games. But I don't know. It just seems to me like I'd rather go up against teams that aren't loaded with talent.
And
no matter how they're playing at that point, and Arizona and Kentucky have always got a lot of talent.
They do, and there's no question about that. And that's you get a weekend to prepare for a week to prepare for that. So that's you have to remember that you're going to play the winner of the Creighton Kansas State first. You get through that, then you've got at least 4 days to prepare for your next battle on it. You have to remember, and we have to remember, there's a reason in somebody's way, shape, mind, or selection that there are four or five for a reason. They weren't dominant. Maybe they're playing well now. Right. But when you do what Virginia has done over the course of the season, that's why they are the number one overall seed, 30-2 or whatever they is. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculously good. And, yeah, you're right. If you go through these matchups, and who's to say Davidson can't beat Kentucky?
No question.
It's a team of freshmen and sophomores.
Being hot. I mean, they had to be hot just to get in.
And we always joke about it. One team. It's one game. It's not a three-game series. It's not a five-game series. One night.
Buffalo's RPI rank is 26. Arizona's 13.
That's not as far as you might
think in that kind of matchup.
A fantastic game on RPI paper. But when Arizona walks by you in line, you say, oh, my gosh, Buffalo might not get a rebound because DeAndre Ayton and Chris Ditch and whatever the other 7 foot guy is. So this is why people are enveloped by the tournament. This is why people take off work to watch it, because you don't get these matchups during the regular season. You hear all the mid-major the coaches that don't get in the tournament saying, well, none of these guys will play us. Well, you just told me why they don't want to play them. Mm-hmm. You gave me the exact reason why nobody in mid-December is going to go to Buffalo and schedule a game up. It doesn't happen that way. So that's what makes these matchups so fascinating, is because they are forced to happen. They do not happen organically, so we get to see them this way. And you have to go out and play. And every single year in the tournament, every single year, there are at least three games where you shake your head, scratch your head, do whatever, and you say, how in the hell did that happen? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. That's the beauty of sticking in teams perhaps that don't always meet your exact resumes, Syracuse, Arizona State, and teams like Middle Tennessee are out, and teams like Santa Clara are out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you lose that luster because, oh, okay, here comes Syracuse limping in at 20-12 because they played in the ACC.
Right.
Okay, great.
We've
seen enough of Syracuse in the last 100 years to be not seen for another 100 years.
Is the NCAA tournament better because of the first weekend, or does that dilute the next couple weekends?
No, the NCAA tournament is the best because of this week.
Yeah.
It starts on Tuesday. We've already had two games. If you, I was joking with somebody on Twitter. Someone said, hey, don't yell at me. I like the first four games. I said, when I go out to dinner, I don't order an appetizer. I order appetizers. I will take all the basketball you can get because I know on April 3rd it's over with and we're done with it for a year.
That's right.
So these games are great. There you go. There's your point of view of football fan.
Right.
But no, what is wrong with watching basketball from noon to 1:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Not maybe that late, but close. Yeah, that's great. Is it diluted? It's diluted if you don't like basketball. Sure, there's way too much basketball on if you don't like basketball. But what it does, it forces these matchups that are not organically happening, and that is what's captivating about it. Nobody wants to see the second round of the tournament where Ohio State plays Nebraska. We see that all conference season long. Give me something different. Give me different styles. Give me different coaching. Give me different.
I don't disagree at all that the early matchups, and especially big upsets, are what thrills people in the first weekend.
Is.
After that, people want to see chalk.
Well, you know why.
But that's the second weekend. People want to see the teams, the great teams, start rising to the top. And you will get some weird results in there from time to time, but that's generally when that happens.
You get all of the stuff you get on this weekend is because twofold. Everybody finds out the same time on Sunday night when they're leaving.
Yeah.
So it's a quick window to get to where you're going, to get your film together, to get your scout together, to get everything together. Usually the better, well-organized teams will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I say anything about what conference those teams played in?
No, but the bigger conferences probably have some more money. I heard John Beilein make an interesting comment. They literally download every piece of film during the course of the year into their system that they possibly can. And so they can find Montana.
But you know what? A lot of guys don't do that.
They can't do that also.
Right. Well, a lot of premium teams might not do that.
Yeah.
Some people just say, hey, we've got enough talent, we'll just show up and win, and sometimes they get beat.
Yeah.
So the point is, the reason you see all these upsets on the first round of the tournament is you play 2:40 on Friday afternoon, you got to come back and play 3:00 on Sunday. You got to turn it. You got to turn it and burn it. There are coaches, there are programs that don't like to do that. There are coaches that bemoan it. There are coaches that don't embrace it, and sometimes they get beat. They want to have 4 days between games because they have the routine, is this, that, and the other thing. Teams that are young usually turn around a little bit better than older teams. You know why? Because young guys don't care. They just want to play.
Right.
But sometimes young guys are stupid. You see these upsets that happen, though, when, hey, we won. This is great. And then what happens in game number two? Well, maybe we forget to show up. That's usually where Cinderella gets knocked off. That's usually why you hear not many double-digit seeds getting to the Sweet 16, because they've got enough in the tank for one, but they just might not have enough in the tank for two.
Yep.
But that's what makes it captivating. That's what makes it interesting. When you see the how many every year in the last 10, 20, 40 years there's been, let's see, tournament's been around for, 39 years now in this format of 60, four seeds, 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I think a 12-5 has happened, 10 of the last 11?
They happen all the time. Yeah.
11 of the last 12, something like that, because you know what?
But three of them either last year or the year before.
Yeah, and they all run together, and that's what makes it fun. But you have the opportunity to do it. And some teams that are beaten up that just get in the tournament or weren't playing well at the end of the year are in – they're going to have to – you can't – you might have backed your way into the tournament by no doing of your own. The committee puts you in. Nobody goes out and votes for this or lobbies for it. But you have teams that back into the tournament. Let's just use Oklahoma for an example. Let's use Arizona State for an example. Mm-hmm. These teams – Arizona State backed in and got Syracuse.
Yeah.
You don't get a pick.
Right.
But some of these teams that aren't playing well at the end of the year, whether it's injuries or whatever else, they have to go out and play. And to see them struggle or see them not play as well because somebody is playing well from a conference you've never heard of, I think that's the allure. I think that's the love affair with it. And then the romance ends and you get to basketball next week when everybody's got 4 or 5 days to prepare for the opponent.
Exactly right. And again, tonight we're with you until 6:30, bottom of the hour. We're turning it over to first four coverage with NC Central playing Texas Southern and Mike Davis. And then the nightcap is Syracuse and Arizona State. So don't go anywhere. That'll
three.
Be
Three of the
15
four
minutes.
Playing games have mid or have Power Five conferences in. Good deal or bad deal for basketball?
Say that again.
The playing games. There's three from major conferences: Syracuse, UCLA, Arizona
State.
Yes. Of
the
eight,
they got in at
three
the
of them.
Yeah,
because
they're all in
the only
the
other one
very
was
bottoms.
The four, the last four in were three power conferences in St. Bonaventure. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's good or bad for it because.
Well, it's different every year, too.
It is.
You have seen several Power Five conference teams get in on that number in the last several years, and some of them don't make it out.
And some of them are number one seeds in the NIT instead of being in that 11th spot. So
let's look real quickly.
It's an interesting balance, that's for sure.
Best chance of making a championship run, you can say Final Four run, out of Big Ten teams. There's only four of them.
I like Michigan State. I like them for two reasons. They've already seen Duke. There's going to be no surprise factor playing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, it's Coach K. Oh, my gosh, look at the height and length they have.
I mean, follow the predictions, and you probably have Duke, and then you probably have Kansas just to get to the Final Four.
Kansas I can live with because it's not one of the best Kansas teams you've seen in a while. That's a team that really, really has to shoot the ball well to win. And what does Michigan State do well? They really guard you really well.
Yep.
But what Michigan State you like about them is they're covered at all positions. They've got wing players. They have bodies to throw at you up front.
They're very talented.
They have guys that can handle the basketball. They've got two point guards.
They're very talented, and then they've got some meat and potatoes type of guys, some
lunch
pail guys too.
And the lunch pail guys know their role. You never see them shooting 10 times a game. You never see them getting in the way of the Big Ten teams. The reason I like that is because Duke has too many young guys in Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
And you saw Grayson Allen against Carolina, and you just shook your head and you said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The one hesitation I have with Michigan State is simply the youth of the guys that play so many minutes for them this year. They're tough enough. They're certainly talented enough. You like the fact that they've got reserves that'll come in and knock some shots down and knock some guys down. So they are certainly
they
built for
it. They have five guys that can score.
Yeah, they are built for it. But
is
that youth, you know, showed up a couple times during the year. The team that I think
Michigan State's only lost twice in 2018.
The team that I'm interested to watch, I hate to say this, it's Purdue. I think they've got a relatively easy track and they needed some time off. I'm very intrigued to see how they come out after that time off. They were missing Vincent Edwards for a couple games down the stretch. They could use or needed some of that time. How they come out right off the bat, because this is a veteran team. And you know, there's been up and downs with this. You've certainly had your young teams that have won that are uber talented, but you've also had the veteran teams that have gotten there too.
If you're Purdue, you don't want to play who in the second round?
Well, I mean, you beat Butler once.
I don't think you want to play Butler again.
Well, I don't think you want to, but you have, and you can, and you beat him pretty handily.
You know, Arkansas is going to have enough guys to throw at you. Butler might not have enough guys, but Arkansas has got enough guys. I think Purdue's fine. The only thing you worry about with Purdue is you really shouldn't until Texas Tech gets there because that's a rock fight kind of team, too.
Right.
They get after you defensively. They get after you on the perimeter. And Carson Edwards is from Texas, and you never know how a sophomore is going to react. He's not trying to stick it to Texas Tech, but he's trying to prove that, you know.
He stepped up, and he could try to do too much in that scenario.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And when Purdue was differently attacked late in the Big Ten season where they try to slow down Edwards. And after, you know, we saw him get 40 points, and you say, well, that they're pretty good when he does that. Let's make other guys beat you. And Purdue didn't exactly sprint to the finish line.
Right.
Purdue limped
That's
home.
Exactly
Purdue
right.
had a chance to win a Big Ten regular season title and fell apart.
Well, Vincent Edwards was being touted as the MVP of the league at one point in argument with Kata Bates-Diop, and then he comes up with an injury down the stretch and isn't the same guy down the stretch. That's
right.
why I'm intrigued by it. Is he back to some form? Because, again, for most of the Big Ten season, he was being talked about right there with Kata Bates-Diop.
Carson Edwards ended up being first team all league. He's what, some kind of all American deal as
yeah,
well.
He scored a lot down the stretch and picking partly up for Vincent Edwards.
He did. But if you look at those brackets and you say Florida, St. Bonnie's, Texas Tech, or Stephen F. Austin, and you're Purdue, you're having a pretty good day.
Yeah.
The top of the bracket where it gets a little bit more interesting because obviously Villanova. Didn't Villanova and Purdue already play this year? Did they? Was it some kind of home? Maybe that was last year. These all run together.
Purdue struggled down in. Down in
the Bahamas,
or wherever that was,
yeah,
along
they lost
with Arizona.
To Tennessee, they lost to Western Kentucky. They beat Arizona down there. So that, you know, that's November. That's kind of a tough one to pin now. But Purdue didn't sprint to the finish line. And the one thing that makes me nervous about it is all you've heard all year long is about this great senior class. They had a chance to win a Big Ten championship late in the year, and they fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have redemption. And you know what? Redemption's great on paper, but you have to go out and do it. And Purdue doesn't have a whole lot of history to lean back on and say, hey, remember the last 3 years we've been to the Sweet 16 and we can do this and that. I'm not killing Purdue here. I'm not. They're in there.
They lost to Tennessee.
They did.
Down in Arizona. Down in
Western Kentucky. Yeah, and then they beat Arizona in the 0-3 game or the 0-2 game. Somebody was going to be 0-3 after that. But I agree. I don't see any trouble leading out of that. Florida, one of their best players is done for the year. One of their best interior guys at 100 dunks a game, and he's done. They've got another problem up there. So yeah, if you're Purdue and you say, "Give me Texas Tech in the Sweet 16," sure. Let's go. I'll sign up for that right now. And then the top of the bracket, Villanova, that'll be interesting. I'm not a huge Wichita State guy. I've never been. Good for them. They made the Final Four. Didn't they make the Final Four a couple years ago?
They were fantastic team.
They had really good guards with Van Fleet and the kid with
Baker.
Ron Baker. That was a good team. They had really good ditch digger guys.
They were no bigger than about 6'7".
No, they weren't.
But they got after you, like you said. They got up in you.
They had a chance to beat Cincinnati on their home court late in the year. I can't remember how that went out. It was the last day of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they did if they're a four seed. Let's put it that way.
We had it on these airwaves.
We did. And then they've got West Virginia, and that's just a bothersome matchup. West Virginia has already beaten the University of Virginia. It's one of their two losses. So if you want to ask – the guard for West Virginia is really good. Javon, what's his face? And I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. But, you know, that's a guy that can drag you through the tournament and just put guys on there. And the style they play is disruptive. Nobody can practice against West Virginia style.
What about Ohio State and Michigan? They're both in the West on opposite sides. Ohio State would get Xavier early. That would be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah,
just
that's
to
not going
to
bother them.
Out West.
They're looking across to Gonzaga first and saying, you know what? Mm-hmm. That team's in the Final Four last year. They've brought back a lot of those pieces.
Yep.
That's a tough matchup because the one thing Ohio State doesn't have, in my opinion, outside of Wesson, they don't have any functional height. And Gonzaga's got some big guys that can handle it. Bates-Diop, though, is a guy who can dig you out of some holes. We saw that right here in Indiana. But Ohio State, same boat Purdue was in. Chance to win the league. Remember, Michigan State was behind Ohio State and Purdue with, what, a week to go, 10 days to go. And
a couple weeks.
Stub your toe, and here comes Michigan State in the back door to win.
Purdue lost three straight at the beginning of February and then reeled off five straight.
Okay.
So, you know, theirs all happened right away, and they were against good teams. Unfortunately, they were teams they were in competition with.
That's kind of how the deal works
sometimes. Ohio State won on their home floor on that hell of a play.
Ohio State didn't put on any kind of dominating performance at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall that took, what, how many overtimes was that? Two?
Yeah, two.
Wasn't a team I looked at and said, this is the team that's going to blow people away in the tournament.
Terry's been talking about them as a fraud all year long.
But
it's not entirely fair, but
I don't think
they are what that great.
Bates-Diop is good enough to put them on their back for a little bit, but you've seen that maybe they're – that's why they're a five seed.
I mean,
Jae'Sean
Tate's got to have his career, you know, a hell of a tournament for them.
He's
6 foot deep.
four, power forward.
Yeah.
And if somebody can have height and athleticism that matches up with that,
Michigan,
you would think so.
Michigan, though, is a big,
I mean, they get
Cinderella.
They got a terrible draw.
I don't know
draw.
What you call them. Everybody loves them.
They got a lousy draw.
Yeah.
They've got to play either. Everybody's raving about Houston and San Diego State recently.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations, you get Carolina in the regional semis.
Right.
I mean, that's just that's the way the cookie crumbles. And again, you win more games. And Michigan did. They won the Big Ten tournament. They matched Michigan State, the regular season champion, on the 3-line. Purdue was on the 2-line, which was interesting. And all these teams are close enough. You told me Michigan and North Carolina played. They played on the big Tuesday. Whenever Duke was here, that was the game before our game. Mm-hmm. They were the early game in
Carolina.
Carolina and Michigan was the game before it, and Michigan was down 100 points at 1 point and a half. But again, that's long enough ago. Are you playing well now? And I think the answer is yes. I think Michigan is playing well right now. They do have seniors. They do have size. They do have good coaching in Beeline. And I'd love to see Michigan and Carolina. I'd sign up to watch that right now. That would be a please don't upset that part of the bracket. But no, I think the easiest route is Purdue. I think the best team is Michigan State.
I'd agree.
If I'm in the Big Ten, when you only have four to choose from, it's going to be tough. But what we've seen is Villanova has lost to some teams perhaps they wouldn't think they would lose to. Kansas had four conference losses. That's not a Kansas-type year that you say, oh, geez, look out. Ohio State, they've got to go through Gonzaga and Xavier. Just to, that, to me, is that's going to –
that's hard.
Chris Holtmann will deserve everything he gets if that happens, because remember, he was named coach in June.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's an unbelievable step to be a 5 seed already. And the University of Virginia now has, again, one of their key cogs hurt. This has drama written all over it. This has this has interest written all over it. I think it's better when you don't have 36-0 Kentucky playing, where you say it's going to be them and three other teams.
It's more intriguing.
I like this.
It's more intriguing because
there's 12 good teams or 14 good teams.
Yeah, and you put those top four up there and you say, well, Virginia with Tony Bennett, he's a fantastic
coach.
But he's never gotten to the Final Four.
No.
Jay Wright's record was never getting anywhere.
Two title games.
Well, yeah, but losing in the first round a couple times also. Yeah. And then all of a sudden now he's got a championship and a Final Four. So, I mean, he's come around, but, I mean, he still has that early history. Kansas, I believe, Bill Self has one Final Four trip as a number one seed out of, like, eight tries?
2008.
That's kind of a crazy record. He's a great coach. I mean, that's not an argument there. He is. He's got him there eight times.
Need a little luck. Need a little goodness.
You know, people talk about Bucknell this year. They're the ones who beat the Kansas back in the day.
That's right.
And Xavier, you haven't seen Xavier at that level yet. During the regular season. You've seen them get to Elite Eights, but you've not been talking about them on that final weekend.
You haven't seen Xavier have to carry expectations.
That's right.
That is a huge thing. What is easier, chip on your shoulder underdog or the guy with the target on your back? Any coach, really good coaches, will tell you, we want to be out in front because that's where you want to be. Other coaches will love to deflect. Nobody believes in us. The criticism we get, it's us against the world. I mean, that's a simplistic mentality. But when you have the guy that's been there, that knows how the media works, that knows what hotel you stay in, what knows the bus is going to be there and the private jet's going to do that, does make it a little bit easier.
What's the shock of the week of this weekend?
The shock of the weekend is going to be somebody like Tennessee getting beat. They stumbled down the stretch. They've got some injury problems. Mm-hmm. Or Auburn, same thing. The SEC teams always make me a little itchy. It's a football conference,
exactly,
and it does. And the other thing will be, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Arizona-Syracuse winner get to Michigan State. TCU lost their point guard to knee surgery in early February. Mm-hmm. They've had some other issues. Their strength of their schedule was in the front of it. They didn't come firing down the mountain as well. I think they were 2-8 in Big 12 play at one point and dug themselves kind of out of that. But I don't have any 15 twos to give you. That's just that my brain doesn't work that way.
No, I'll give you a 5.
Yeah,
there
should be.
South Dakota State has a big kid that steps out and shoots threes all over the place. Is top six, I think, or sixth nationally in scoring.
Yeah, nice
I'm not
player.
Sure how Ohio State matches up with that guy exactly. Chris Holtman's a very good coach, but that'll be an interesting one right there.
He is, and Clemson's got guys hurt too. So if you want to stay in there, it wouldn't surprise me if Auburn and Clemson both got beat in the bottom there, and then Kansas gets a cakewalk into the regional final, because those are the teams that just don't look like they're leaking oil. They got guys that are hurt. They got guys that didn't finish the season well.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Yes, it's early, but we've got basketball for you. The first four, the night two tonight, Texas Southern and Mike Davis takes on NC Central here in just a couple minutes, and the nightcap is Arizona State and Syracuse. We'll be back Monday to talk about a big weekend, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and recap all the craziness that always happens during that first weekend when we are back on Monday. So tune in then, folks. You've been in the zone.